afternoon. It's 4:30 and 72 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Ellen Barnett.
And I'm Sean Delaney.
I mean, everything that we ever learned in school, I mean, the D.A.R.E. programs, the marijuana was a gateway drug. It's not the truth. The truth is it's the exit drug.
Paintsville City Councilman Justin Lewandowski is speaking out in favor of a change in Kentucky's marijuana laws.
Four men have been indicted in the shooting death of a pregnant woman that occurred last September.
The annual March of Dimes walk takes place in Ashland Central Park tomorrow.
In sports, the Cincinnati Reds open a weekend series against the Chicago Cubs tonight.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
There's a 50% chance of rain tonight with temperatures near 50 degrees. We'll have a complete forecast after this news.
A Menifee County toddler injured in a child abuse case succumbed to her injuries on Wednesday. WKYT reports the child, one-year-old Aria Blanton, died after being airlifted to the Kentucky Children's Hospital. Before the child's death, police charged her mother, Laura Blanton, and Blanton's boyfriend, Robert Collins, with first-degree child abuse. Authorities say the investigation is now being treated as a homicide. Police were called after Collins brought the bruised and unresponsive girl to Blanton's place of work on Monday. Blanton and Collins told the police the child was injured in an accident, but investigators say her injuries were consistent with abuse.
Police in Wheelersburg, Ohio, are searching for the man who robbed West Banco, Thursday morning. The Portsmouth Daily Times is reporting that a man entered the business and demanded money. The paper quotes Captain John Murphy of the Scioto County Sheriff's Department as saying the suspect left on foot with an undetermined amount of cash. The Sheriff's Department has posted pictures of the man on its Facebook page and is urging anyone who may have information about the incident to contact deputies.
Four men have been indicted by a grand jury in the death of a Lexington woman and her unborn son. KNN's Suzanne Duvall has the story.
22-year-old Mariah Coleman was walking her dog at night outside her Lexington apartment last September when she was shot. She and her unborn son later died at the hospital. Police say 21-year-old Skylar Stigall and 20-year-olds Demetrian Boaz, Joseph Fain, and Saquon Freeman were trying to rob a man nearby when shots were fired and Coleman was struck. The four are charged with murder, fetal homicide, and robbery. I'm Suzanne Duvall.
Kentucky's unemployment rate is holding steady. Mike Lindeman reports.
The seasonally adjusted rate for March of 5% was unchanged from February, according to the state. That's a tenth of a point lower than the same time a year ago. The labor force estimate is based on a current population survey of households. A federal survey of business found Kentucky's non-farm employment increased 1,300 jobs between February and March, led by an expansion in the manufacturing sector. I'm Mike Lindeman.
Rowan County's unemployment rate is 6.2%.
Even though raw sewage discharged into the Ohio River from New Boston this week is headed downstream toward Maysville, it should not harm drinking water supplies for Mason County communities. That's according to Steve Hamilton. He's the village administrator for New Boston. Hamilton spoke with WSAZ.
It should be pretty well diluted, not that far out from where the contamination is.
Hamilton says the sewage was discharged from 29 buildings in New Boston during a project to improve sewage flow. He says local, state, and federal authorities have been notified, and a solution to the problem is in the works. In the meantime, people immediately downstream from New Boston have been urged not to swim in or use the water.
A Grant County lake is contaminated with a harmful algal bloom, or HAB. That's according to State Environmental Cabinet spokesman Lanny Brannick. However, he says the warning initially issued for Bolts Lake has been reduced to a watch. He says the change was made after a second sample was tested April 12th.
Normally, we associate harmful algal blooms with thriving in sunlight and low flow conditions, not necessarily in winter, but for whatever reason, this toxin has held on all winter, so I wouldn't make a prediction on whether it's going to get better or worse, because we haven't really had an experience where one hung on for as long as this one has.
Brennick says a watch means that algal toxins are present in the water and swimming, wading, and other water activities are not recommended. He says they could lead to stomach pain, nausea, or vomiting.
A new report out by Trust for America's Health suggests that Kentucky should do more to be prepared for a public health emergency. The nonprofit's report analyzes states' abilities to prevent, detect, diagnose, and respond to infectious disease outbreaks. University of Kentucky professor Dr. Glenn Mays says Kentucky only scores about a 6.7 on their 10-point scale of preparedness, which is mostly due to a lack of adequate services for people in rural communities.
Some of our populations lack ready access to things like trauma centers or just have lower numbers of physicians, nurses, and other healthcare providers who are available to spring into action in the event of an emergency. Every American deserves strong protection. It shouldn't matter where you live.
Mays says Kentucky ranks highly in health security surveillance, its ability to detect disease outbreaks early.
According to the website GasBuddy.com, fuel prices in Moorhead are about 20 cents higher than they are in most other communities in the region. The lowest cost for regular unleaded fuel in Moorhead today is $2.44. It's $2.25 in Ashland, $2.26 in Grayson, and $2.23 in Maysville. The state average is $2.37 and is said to be stable. The lowest price for gas in Kentucky today is in Lexington, where it's $2.07. That's what the average cost was for the entire state last year at this time.
A plan to transfer Garrison electrical lines onto a new distribution line is getting started in Lewis County. MSPR's Chaz Jenkins reports.
The project will involve switching electric distribution lines from the old ones into the new ones that were put up years ago. It was originally supposed to begin in 2015, but was canceled due to electric rates increasing at the plant board. Electric plant board superintendent Bill Tom Stone says they are happy they can finally complete the project. He says they had received some rough estimates for the cost, but no exact amount will be released until bids are received. Stone says the project will not increase electric rates for customers. For Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet will begin $700,000 worth of renovations next week on the Cattlesburg-Canova Bridge in Boyd County. Constructed in 1987, the bridge will be restricted to one-lane traffic for 1 month while crews replace its driving surface, clean the structure, and install some new expansion joints. Alan Blair is the spokesman for District 9 of the Kentucky Highway Department.
The age of the bridge plus the wear and tear we've seen on the bridge led to this renovation project. That renovation will include not only the replacement of the driving surface and the latex overlay to, you know, protect the concrete deck of the bridge, but also replacement of the steel expansion joints. This kind of work needs to be done to bridges from time to time to make sure they provide the best travel as well as last as long as they can.
To avoid possible traffic delays around the bridge, Blair suggests that people use alternate routes, such as Interstate 64 and U.S. 23.
The new jailer in Mason County says she's ready to take on the challenges of the job. After recently being appointed to the post, Lisa Kern-Yeary was sworn in Tuesday to replace the retired Lisa O'Hearn. Yeary says her first priority is making sure the Mason Detention Center is a safe place. She admits that will be a major task since the 140-bed facility will, on some days, hold up to 200 prisoners.
You rely on good staff, you know, just be keenly aware of what's going on and address any issues as they come up.
Yeary was named Mason's new jailer after losing a 2014 election bid to get the job. She's already planning to mount a campaign for re-election in 2018.
The $18 million project to build Rowland County's new detention center has been hit with another change order. Judge Executive Walter Blevin says the county will have to spend another $20,000 on the project after a state inspector recently found a problem.
Some chases there that carry some of the ventilation pipes and heating pipes, and for some reason they did not put doors there so you could access them. So you never know, anything can happen, so it's better to go ahead and spend $20,000 now than get in there and have to start digging and cutting concrete with prisoners in there. So it's probably a step in the right direction.
Thanks to various state change orders in recent months, Blevin says Rowland County has had to spend an extra $100,000 on the jail project. However, he notes the county built a $930,000 contingency fund into the project's cost to deal with such matters. Construction on Rowland's new 300-bed detention center is expected to be finished in January.
Senator Rand Paul thinks the Trump administration should use China to help ease tensions between the U.S. and North Korea. The Kentucky Republican talked with reporters Thursday during a stop in Bullitt County. Paul says China can be very influential with the North Koreans.
North Korea's socialized economy is barren, like the landscape. They don't produce enough food for themselves. They suck most of the energy of the country into their military and their missiles. And so I think they rely on China for a great deal of support.
Paul says China is the only true ally of North Korea has in Asia. The U.S. and North Korea have been at loggerheads over North Korea's nuclear program.
Painesville City Councilman Justin Lewandowski says Kentucky should join 29 other states and allow medical marijuana. He conducted a town hall meeting on the issue Thursday night in Painesville. The councilman spoke with WSAZ.
I'd love to go to a place where I can pick something for sleep, something for motivation. I mean, just different varieties, different strands, you know, from your indicas to your sativas to the hybrids. I should have a choice the way I do it, through edibles or oils or smoking it or vaping it. I should have those options.
Lewandowski is a veteran who served in the Middle East. He says that he uses marijuana for PTSD. Lewandowski also says he will run for state representative next year and plans to make the issue central for his campaign.
The March of Dimes is hoping to raise $130,000 tomorrow during its annual 3.5-mile walk in Ashland. The event begins at 9 a.m. in Central Park. Daniel Hare is with the March of Dimes. He appeared on WOWK.
We have something for all ages. We have a superhero sprint for the little kids, all the way up to walking for the whole family, and a great festivity site for the whole family. We're expecting a great crowd, rain or shine. We will be there. We will be in our purple, and we are ready to go.
Hare says participants will gather in the pavilion area, beginning with registration at 8 a.m. Money raised during the walk will be used to help prevent birth defects.
The Kentucky Democratic Party has hired a former team leader of Bernie Sanders' presidential campaign as its new executive director. The party announced Mary Nisha Matua of Frankfort as the new executive director on Friday. She will serve under the state party chairwoman, Sandy Overly, the state representative from Paris. Nisha Matua was a national team leader for Sanders' 2016 presidential campaign and was a delegate for him to the Democratic National Convention.
A retired Kentucky Guardsman is receiving the military's second highest honor. Former Air National Guard Master Sergeant Kerry Miller earned the Air Force Cross, second only to the Medal of Honor, for his actions as a pararescue man in Afghanistan during a 17-hour battle with the Taliban in 2002, but he takes the distinction humbly.
You know, I'm honored to get the award, but the award doesn't necessarily change me. I was trained to perform, and along with my team, we went out there and we did our jobs.
Miller says any one of his companions on that mountain deserved the same honor. Seven U.S. service members were killed in the battle.
Taking a look at the weather forecast in the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Rowan, Bath, and Carter. Tonight, expect cloudy skies with occasional showers. Low near 50 degrees, chance of rain at 50%. Tomorrow, expect rain with thunder possible, high of around 51 degrees. Chance of rain will reach around 100%. Tomorrow night, rain early, then remaining cloudy with showers later on. Chance of rain drops down to 60% rainfall, around half an inch, low of around 47 degrees. On Sunday, cloudy skies with occasional showers in the afternoon, high of 58 degrees, chance of rain at 40%. Sunday night, cloudy skies early, then partly cloudy after midnight, low of around 48 degrees. On Monday, sunshine and clouds will be mixed, high of around 68 degrees. Monday night, partly cloudy skies, low of near 50 degrees. And on Tuesday, mainly sunny skies with scattered clouds in the afternoon, high of around 76 degrees. Right now in Ashland, it's 75 degrees, and Flemingsburg, it's 69 degrees. Inez is 72 degrees. Lexington is 70 degrees, along with Winchester. And in Moorhead, it's 72 degrees.
Good afternoon. The time is 4:45. You're tuned in to Mountain Edition here on Moorhead State Public Radio. On our feature segment this afternoon, we have commentary from Moorhead State Professor John Modaff. He wonders what happens to presidents that turns them so quickly to using force.
Out here in the garage again, thinking, Why would anyone want to be president? Maybe it wouldn't be so bad if the only problems were being blamed for everything, most of which you had nothing to do with, being given credit for everything, most of which you had nothing to do with, having to be ready at all times for the dark-suited keepers who call themselves secret to tackle you and spirit you away to some bunker. No privacy. 10,000 people vying for your time. 100,000 issues, each one of them prime. A drafty old house down the street from people who can barely stand you. Constant criticism, reliable detestation, and unreliable love. And those are the good points. No, the worst thing of all might be the thing we see happen to every one of the presidents in recent memory. The whispers of war. They campaign on peace, as did everyone since Nixon, and then the whispers start, perhaps from close advisers, pretending a loss of face or advantage or opportunity. Or perhaps the whispers start with wars and rumors of wars, those ongoing since World War I and before, always begging for partners in the dance of bullets and bombs. And while every gunshot, every grenade, every bomb is a potential scene of heroic, patriotic valor, every single one of those explosions also passes one more coin to the profiteers. A war profiteer is anyone who goes to bed each night terrified that peace will break out. Maybe they are the whisperers, themselves or their surrogates, some of whom may wear a uniform, or others regular suits. But whomever gets the fresh president's ear, they always seem to succeed in gaining his conviction. Continue the bombing. Start the bombing. Let the missiles fly. Deploy special forces. Deliver the shield. Or, as our last president so often did, send in the drones. The peace-loving campaigners are transformed by the voices in the White House and that surround the presidency. Too quickly and incontrovertibly, they evolve into war makers, each and every one of them. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech at Morehead State University. The time is 4:48. You're listening to Mountain Edition. Nathan has been keeping an eye on our sports. He's up after these words.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Morehead. Funded in part through a grant from the Kentucky Division of Waste Management, a second green recycling trailer will be rotating among Elliottville, Hayes Crossing, Farmers, and at the MMRC Fire Department on Kentucky 801 North. In addition, a green recycling trailer will always be located across from Walmart in the parking lot at the community park. The rotating trailer schedule is online at moreheadrecycling.org.
The Reds take on last year's champs. Good afternoon. Reporting from Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Nathan Gutierrez. The Cincinnati Reds are slated to open a weekend three-game home series with the Chicago Cubs tonight at 7:10. They'll be coming off back-to-back 2-1 loss to interleague foe Baltimore at Great American Ballpark. Manager Brian Price, though, says there was a silver lining.
The thing that shouldn't be overlooked, or hopefully isn't overlooked over the course of the season, is that we're getting better starting pitching. We talked about it a few days ago. We need this type of pitching to stay competitive in the division.
The 9-7 Reds lead the NL Central by a half game over the Cubs. Tim Adelman pitches tonight for Cincinnati. Lefty John Lester goes for Chicago. After getting a 19-6 win over West Virginia Tech earlier this week, the Morehead State baseball team is back in conference action right now in Clarksville, Tennessee for a weekend series at Austin Peay. Starting today off with a doubleheader, the Eagles fell to the Governors 3-1 in the first contest, breaking a four-game winning streak. And due to inclement weather, Game 2 will begin at 6 p.m. The 26-12 Eagles wrap up their series with the Govs on Sunday at 2 p.m. It appears Kentucky's best high school pitcher is heading for surgery. West Carter coach Tim Johnson says doctors have determined that senior right-hander Ben Jordan has a partial tear in his throwing elbow.
The good thing is where any damage was done is totally repairable with 100% comeback. You know, and he's very resilient. He's a hard worker. He'll be back.
The 6'9 Jordan, whose fastball has touched 99 miles an hour, signed earlier with the University of Kentucky. However, he'd been considered a likely first-round pick in the June Major League Amateur Draft. According to Johnson, Jordan remains very draftable, but it's uncertain at this point what round he might be taken in. The Morehead State softball team has a pair of OVC doubleheaders this weekend on the road. The Eagles visit Southeast Missouri tomorrow and UT Martin on Sunday. MSU coach David Williams believes his team's 4-8 league mark is deceiving.
When you look at the conference records across the board, not just ours, it's not really a true indication of how these teams are doing because everybody's taking turns beating up on each other. And for us as a conference as a whole, it's really great news for us. I think it'll lead to some at-large bids for the NCAA tournament for our conference.
Despite their lack of success in conference action, the softball Eagles are 23-17 overall. With three signees in the books and a handful of other players recently making verbal commitments to his program, new Morehead State basketball coach Preston Spradlin says efforts to gather his first recruiting class are going well. Spradlin reports that he and his assistants have been working on their recruiting depth chart and trying to get players on campus for visits.
We're really excited about the kids that have decided to be a part of our program here in the future, and it's certainly made a good splash on the recruiting circuit with a lot of the kids that we've gotten, whether they're in-state or junior college players.